Here comes summer. Went golfing yesterday with a couple of buds, and I just love, I mean, you know, it's April. So spring has barely begun, and summer beckons, and I plan to take a bite out of the acid life. It's time for the morning brief. Deb Hutton is here, former senior advisor to two premiers of Ontario. Nice to have you.
A bite out of the ass of life? I have never heard that.
Sounds like a great lyric to a song.
Well, I'm trying to remember. Somebody will probably text in, but it comes from a movie or something, and or a book. So, Nick, you can look that up and add it to your endless list of completely useless information. Okay, so the new trash bins for the city. I don't know if there's much debatable about this, Deb. I'm glad that we're doing something about them because the ones we have not been doing their job.
Yeah, and I think we must be getting one because when we walked to school yesterday, there was a big black, almost like a barbecue cover on the one at the end of my daughter's school street. So I will look for that this morning. I think we must be one of the next round of pilots. I mean, there's a few things here. Let's just hope they work. Because government doesn't always design things the way they should. So
no.
I'm just hopeful that, you know, animals aren't crawling in them and that in trying to be smarter about it, we aren't actually a lot stupider about it. So that's my first thing. Secondly, I will be curious to know ultimately how much it does cost because we're being told not that much at all. In fact, maybe nothing, which, again, I don't buy. The third thing I want to say is also yesterday walking to school, the streets in at Yonge and Lawrence were littered with paper. Like, I mean, absolutely disgustingly littered. Because Wednesday is recycling day, or it was this week. And the garbage trucks on my side of the street, run by the city, not private sector, sadly, flip your bins up into the truck, flip them back, and anything that was somewhat loose goes flying all over everywhere. So it is disgusting. So if she, as she says, literally wants to clean up the streets, then she needs to get her garbage crew that she employs, not a separate contract, to clean up the streets because they were absolutely disgusting.
I got a text from Richard Krause, who I must say, I wonder he has time to eat. He spends so much time listening to this radio station. And that quote comes from the movie Big Night, which was this wonderful, wonderful movie about one evening in a restaurant. All right, so let's keep going. I'm finding this a bit tedious. MPP Sarah Jama was ordered out of the house yesterday for wearing a keffiyeh. She didn't leave. And I guess, you know, Deb, you can reflect on this two ways. One is, why does she insist on constantly wearing this thing when she knows it's been banned? Two, why did it have to be banned in order to keep it out of the house and start the fight?
Because it's political, and she's proving the point that it is political. I asked her very clearly last week on The Rush if she had worn it into the legislature prior to October the 7th, and she had to acknowledge that she had not. She keeps saying it's of my culture. She's actually from here, but her background is Somali, and it's not part of the Somali culture. She wears it as a political statement, and the fact that she just boldly walked into the house repeatedly when the speaker made a decision and the legislature collectively made a decision to ban it is, in my view, absolutely disgusting. It's wrong. And she is proving the point, as I said, that it is a political statement. I'm disappointed it took so long for the speaker to enforce his law. And I'm more disappointed that they didn't actually remove her. I understand why they didn't want to be seen to be dragging an MPP out of the legislature, but she has defied the order of the speaker, and that's not how things work.
Well, and also it would have been kind of a messy affair since she's in a wheelchair. They would have had to actually, you know, force her wheelchair out of the house. Yeah. Canadian Civil Liberties Association pressing for action after Toronto Police Chief commented on the Zamir acquittal. I get that he stepped, you know, away from where he should have been. He was not in his lane, whatever you want to say. It was wrong for him to say what he said last Sunday. But again, this is a bit like the keffiyeh business. I'm getting tired of it.
Yeah, and I, you know, you and I discussed this, I think, earlier in the week. I didn't think what he said was absolutely terrible. I understand why people took exception to it. I get it. And I understand why he apologized. But he apologized. And so this notion that, you know, somehow the Civil Liberties Association needs to be all up in arms about it, I think is really over the top. My only worry, because they're going after the Toronto Police Services Board, which is by nature a bit political, my only worry is that they, you know, overreact and kowtow to the association.
And interesting sidebar, actually, that Shelley Carroll was telling me yesterday she was going through her induction procedures, whatever they may be, to serve on the Police Services Board, because, as you know, John Burnside got booted out because the province came up with this rule that if you've been a cop, you can't sit on the police board, which I find somewhat questionable.
Agreed.
Jewish student is suing Toronto Metropolitan University, the university formerly known as Ryerson, saying it's a toxic anti-Semitic environment. And I think she's seeking $1.3 million.
Yeah, and I never love the lawsuits. I mean, I don't like that as an action to make change. But the student absolutely has a point. I mean, we talked earlier this week, John, on our 920 segment on Monday that you and I were together on, that we have a lot of students making choices for next year's university who are Jewish based on whether they feel safe or not. And it's absolutely wrong. The province has a bill that will address a little bit of this, or at least, you know, put the onus on universities to be safer for everyone, regardless of their religion. And I also think the board of governors of these universities have a role to play here and to say, yes, we're all for academic freedom, but not at the expense of the safety of some of our students.
Yeah, I'm all about definitions, I have to say. And I would have to see what it is that, you know, simply protesting Israel's action in the Middle East is not inherently anti-Semitic. But at the same time, as we saw in Ottawa last weekend, I mean, people were cheering. They said, what, long live October 7th? I mean, that's nuts.
Oh, I mean, some, and look, it's not everyone, but it is a significant enough part of the pro-Palestinian protests for people to feel unsafe and to hear language that has no place in any country, let alone Canada, in 2024.
Venice is now going to charge people for day trips into Venice, which I guess raises the question of, like, who does a city belong to? And Venice has become unlivable for Venetians. As a matter of fact, I think it's got a population of 50,000, about 30,000 of whom don't live there.
Yeah, I mean, you'd like to think that everybody can go anywhere at any time when it's sort of like an outdoor museum of sorts. But we were in Italy last year, and we didn't go to Venice, but it is absolutely, you know, just crawling with tourists. So, I mean, I think every municipality has to do things that make their city livable and make them such that they still are a destination for people and they still get tourist dollars. So I think saying day trippers, you know, people who aren't spending money in the city should have to pay a fee to come in. It's a minimal fee, quite frankly. I think it's like €5 or something.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that. I mean, we went to many little communities where streets are wide enough for cars, but they just prohibit cars during certain parts of the day. And it's slightly annoying as a tourist. You have to kind of walk in and up the winding hills, but it makes at least your stay there, your enjoyment of it as a day tripper, much, much more so than it would be with just car after car after car.
Deb, thanks a lot. You have a wonderful weekend.
You too, John.
That is Deb Hutton, former senior advisor to two Ontario premiers on The Morning Brief.